We continue learning Maseches Megillah. Today we're going to learn Daf Hey Amud Beis. We left off on Daf Hey Amud Aleph at the bottom of the page. So Amar Rabbi Lazar, last line of the page. Amar Rabbi Lazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina. Rebbe did the following three unusual things. First of all, Natan Netia B'Purim. He planted on Purim, which means that he was doing Malacha on Purim. So we're going to see in a moment, that's going to be our discussion, whether one is allowed to do Malacha on Purim. Second thing he did, V'rachatz B'krona Shal Tzipari B'Shiv Asar B'Tamuz. He bathed in a public bathhouse on Shiva Asar B'Tamuz. And third thing, Ubikesh Lakor Tisha B'Av. He wanted to uproot Tisha B'Av. V'lo Hodlo. And all these, what does it mean, uproot Tisha B'Av? So Tosfos points out, doesn't mean he wanted to cancel Tisha B'Av. It means he wanted to make it a different day, maybe a day later. So the Gemara will explain what else it might mean. V'lo Hodlo. But the Chachamim thought he was incorrect about all of these things. Amr Lefan of Rabbi Abba Bar Zivda, Rabbi Lokacha Yemaisa, Ela Tishbav Shchalios B'Shabbos Hava, V'dechinuhu Lachar HaShabbos. That it wasn't that he was trying to cancel Tisha B'Av, it was just that Tisha B'Av fell out on Shabbos, and they pushed it off till Sunday. V'amir Rabbi, and Rabbi said, Hol V'nidche Yidche, that once we're pushing it off, might as well cancel it. Not to cancel it forever, but for that year that it fell on Shabbos, that's what he was trying to do. V'lo hodu chachamim, but the chachamim did not agree to that. Kari alei tov mashnayim mina echad. They said about him that it's tov mashnayim mina echad, that it's better to have the two than the one. Meaning, if as Rashi explains, ilu lo shamati mimcha hayisi toa bedavar. So had you not taught me this, I would have easily made this mistake. I'm glad you set me straight in terms of what exactly happened with Rebbe and the Chachamim. So I asked the Gemara, but our point, what we're trying to get to over here is the first thing that Rebbe did, planting on Purim, is that okay? V'Rebbe hechi natanatia b'Purim. How was Rebbe allowed to plant on Purim? V'hatani Rav Yosef simcha umishta v'yom tov. Purim is supposed to be, according to the Pasuk in the Megillah, a day of Simcha, Mishta, and Yom Tov. What do each of those words mean? Simcha, Melamit Shasurim Behespid. Simcha teaches us that we're not allowed to give a eulogy on Purim. Mishta, Melamit Shasur Betainis. Mishta teaches us that one is not allowed to fast on Purim. V'Yom Tov, Melamit Shasur Basias Melacha. And Yom Tov teaches me that one is not allowed to do Melacha on Purim. There's our question. Don't we see from the words in the Megillah that one is not allowed to do Melacha on Purim? So how is Rebbe allowed to plant on Purim? Ella Rebbe Bar Arbeisar Hava V'chinata B'chameisar Nata. Rebbe must have been someone who lived in a town that celebrates Purim on Yud Dalet Adar. And when did he do the planting? That was on Shushan Purim, on Chamisha Asar, on the 15th day of Adar. So, Frakta Gemara, is that really correct? Is that really true? I mean, we're going to have three answers to this question of how Rebbe was able to do Malacha. That was answer number one. Ask the Gemara, is that really true? Ve'eni v'ha Rebbe b'Tveria havya. U'Tveria mukavas chom mos Yeshua b'nunu. Rebbe lived in Tveria, and Tveria was a place that was surrounded by a wall from the days of Yeshua b'nun. So, Ella, so here's an answer that's actually going to stick. The first of three answers actually works. Rebbe bar chameisar hava. It's not that Rebbe was in a town that celebrated on the 14th and he planted on the 15th. It's the reverse. Rebbe lived in a town that celebrated on the 15th. He lived in Tveria. V'chinata ba'arbesar hava. When did he plant? He planted on the 14th of Adar. Is it so clear and obvious that the town of Tveria, the city of Tveria, had a wall around it from the days of Yeshua ben Nun? He Chizkiah would read on Megillah on both the 14th and the 15th day of Adar in Tveria, because he wasn't sure whether it was surrounded by a wall from the days of Yeshua ben Nun or not. So how can you just take it as a davar pashut and assume that it's clear and obvious that Tveria was surrounded with a wall from the days of Yeshua ben Nun? Says Mar leChizkiah Mesafkalei. The Rebbe Pshitalei. Yeah, Chizkiah wasn't sure, and that's why Chizkiah read the Megillah on both of those days. Rebbe was sure, and since Rebbe was sure, Rebbe read the Megillah only on the 15th, and he was even willing to do Malacha on the 14th. So still ask the Gemara, V'chi Pshitalei Mishari, just because he was sure that his city was surrounded by a wall from the days of Yeshua ben Nun, does that mean it's mutter to do Malacha on Yud Dalet Adar? Vaksiv b'Megillas Tainis. Doesn't it say in Megillas Tainis? Es Yom Arba'a Asar. Megillas Tainis is a list of special days of the year that are celebratory days where one is not allowed to fast and eulogize and things like that. So doesn't it say in Megillas Tainis, Es Yom Arba'a Asar ve'es Yom Chamisha Asar Yom Puraya Inun de'lo l'misput b'hon, that both the 14th and the 15th of Adar are days of Purim where we don't give eulogies? And whatever is asked to do on one day, you're not allowed to do on the other day, regardless of where you live. Even if you live in a place where they celebrate Purim on the 14th, you're not allowed to eulogize or do malacha either on the 15th. And if you live in a place that celebrates Purim on the 15th, you're not allowed to eulogize or do malacha or fast on the 14th. So you see that they're both days of Purim. So how can you say that Rebbe was allowed to do malacha on the 14th since he lived in Tveria, which celebrates on the 15th? Even if you do live in Tveria, you're not allowed to do malacha on the other day of Purim. And it says Gemara, Hani Mili Behasper B'tayinis. No, you know what you're not allowed to do on the 14th if you live in Tveria? You're not allowed to eulogize and you're not allowed to fast. Avul malacha, yom echad v'sulo. But when it comes to malacha, there's only one day that you're not allowed to do malacha. There are no 2 days that we outlaw doing malacha. That's only a one-day deal. Ask the Gemara, Eini, is that really so? V'harav chazyalu gavra davikashadi kisne b'puria v'latye v'lotzamach kisne. Rav saw a guy who was planting flax on Purim, and he cursed him, and his flax didn't grow. So don't you see that you're not allowed to do malacha either? And says Gemara, Hasan bar Yomahava. No, because he saw him planting on the day that he actually celebrated Purim. Then, for sure, you're not allowed to do malacha. But if you celebrate Purim on the 15th, like Rebbe did, you're allowed to do malacha on the 14th. That's still permissible. So that was all answer number one. How was Rebbe allowed to do malacha? How was he allowed to plant? It was Purim. No, it wasn't Purim for him. He celebrated Purim on the 15th. He planted on the 14th. Answer number two now. Rabba b'rei de Rava Amar, afilu teme biyomei, hesped v'taynis kabilu alayu, malacha lo kabilu alayu. You're right that the Megillah says originally that we weren't allowed to do malacha on Purim, but that law changed because Klal Yisrael never accepted that decree not to do malacha on Purim. So it was okay for Rebbe to do malacha on Purim, it's okay for us to do malacha on Purim, because Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, never accepted that decree. The Me'ikar Ksiv, because if you actually look in the Megillah, originally when it describes what Purim is supposed to be like, it describes Simcha, Umishta, V'yom Tov, it describes all three elements. Simcha, where you shouldn't give a hesped, Mishta, where you shouldn't fast, and Yom Tov, where you shouldn't do malacha. But then you read a little bit further on in the Megillah, in Perek Tes Halacha Chaf Beis, just 3 psukim later, the Megillah says, La'asoso sum, we make these days, Yimei, Mishta v'simcha, days of Mishta and Simcha. Notice what it doesn't say. V'ilu Yom Tov lo ksiv. It no longer says that Purim is a Yom Tov, because it's not. We're allowed to do malacha on Purim. So ask the Gemara, okay, so if we're allowed to do malacha on Purim, because Klal Yisrael never accepted that decree, ve'ala Rav, my time elati elu gavra. So then why did Rav curse the guy who was trying to plant the flax on Purim? What did he do wrong? We never accepted a decree not to do malacha on Purim. And says Gemara, Devarim hamutarin va'achirim na'agu b'hen iser hava. That this was an example of something that is technically mutter, but people have a minag to treat it as usur, and you're not allowed to be lenient on something that everybody around you has a minhag to treat as usur. That's an important concept. Dvarim hamutarim va'achirim nahagu bahen iser. Something that's technically mutter, but other people treat as asir. Uba asrei de Rebbe lo nahug. Now Rebbe didn't have to worry about doing malacha, because in Rebbe's place they never had this minhag not to do malacha. But in the place where Rav saw the guy planting flax, there was an accepted minhag not to do malacha, so Rav had every right to curse that person. V'iba yaseim liolam nahug. A third possible answer is that maybe they were nohig, the iser of doing malacha, even in Rebbe's place, and therefore malacha was aser. So why was Rebbe allowed to plant on Purim? The Rebbe Natia Shel Simcha Nata. Rebbe was planting a planting of Simcha, of happiness, and that's allowed on Purim. Kiditnan, like we learned in the Mishnah. Avru Elu V'lo Ne'enu, if a person has been fasting, we learn in Maseches Tainis, if a person is fasting and the certain number of fast days pass and we're still not answered, God still didn't give rain. Mimatin B'maso Matan U'Bibinyan U'Binetia Be'irusin U'Binisuin. We minimize business, we minimize building, we minimize planting, we minimize weddings. V'tana Allah, and we learnt on that, Binyan, Binyan Shel Simcha. When we say that we minimize building, it means building just for the sake of Simcha, just for the sake of making us happier. And Netia, Netia Shel Simcha. Planting means, again, just the planting for the sake of Simcha. But if it's not a planting of Simcha, that they were allowed to do on a certain number of fast days. So you see from there that there's a difference between different types of planting and different types of building. And therefore it would stand to reason that on Purim, one is allowed to do Netia Shel Simcha. It's only regular Netia that's Aser. Ezahu Binyan Shel Simcha. What does it mean, building for the sake of happiness? Ze'abona Beis Chasos L'bno. That's building a wedding canopy for your son when you're going to marry him off. Ezuhu Netia Shel Simcha. What is an example of planting for happiness? Ze'anotea Avorniki Shel Malachim. That's planting a special garden for the kings. So that's something that specifically gives a person extra happiness. So I have two main points here. I forgot to do the first one. First main point on the very top of the Amud. Three things that Rebbe did. Number one, planted on Purim, and the Chacham didn't agree to. Number one, planted on Purim. Number two, bathed on Shavuos B'Tammuz. And number three, wanted to change or cancel Tisha B'Av, or at least when it fell on Shabbos. Main point number two, three explanations why Rebbe was allowed to do Malacha on Purim. Number one, Rebbe celebrated Purim on the 15th day of Adar, and he planted on the 14th day. Number two, maybe Klal Yisrael never accepted an Isser of doing Malacha on Purim. And number three, the Isser of doing Malacha doesn't apply to a Netia Shel Simcha. And maybe that's what Rebbe was doing. He planted a Netia Shel Simcha. Now, we had mentioned in the course of this conversation something about Tveria, that Rebbe lived in Tveria. Chizkiya wasn't sure whether Tveria was surrounded by a wall of days of Yeshua ben Nun or not, but Rebbe was sure. So that we're going to pick up on that discussion of Tveria right now in the second wide line. Gufa. Chizkiya kari b'Tveria bar besar u'b'chamesar. Chizkiya read the Megillah in Tveria on both the 14th and the 15th day of Adar. He wasn't sure if it was surrounded by a wall from the days of Yeshua ben Nun or not. So ask the Gemara, was he really not sure about Tveria? Doesn't the Pasuk say, V'arei mivtzar ha-tzidim tzer v'chamas rakas v'chinaras? V'kaimelan rakas zu Tveria. That it describes fortified cities, arei mivtzar, and one of them is rakas, and we know that rakas is just another name for Tveria. So you see, Tveria was a fortified city in the days of Yeshua. This is a Pasuk from Sefer Yoshua. It describes Tveria as a fortified city. So obviously it had a wall around it from the days of Yoshua. How could Chizkiya not know this? Here's what he wasn't sure about. One side of Tveria had the ocean on it. It bordered on the ocean. And therefore, it didn't need a wall. So is that called being surrounded by a wall? That's what he wasn't sure about. He knew it was well fortified. He wasn't sure if that's considered being surrounded by a wall. So why would he not be sure? That's certainly not a wall. The Tanya, the Brisa says, that it needs to have a wall, and even a row of houses on one side of the city would not help. And it needs to be surrounded by walls, unlike Tveria, where the Yam is its fourth wall. So then it shouldn't have been a Suffolk. He should have been certain, if that was the issue, he should have been certain that it did not have a wall on all four sides. Answers the Gemara, the Inyan Bate Arichoma, Lama Safkale. When it comes to the halacha of selling a house in a walled city, where there's a special halacha that for the first year after you sell the house, you're allowed to buy it back from the person you sold it to, and after that, the person gets to keep it forever, and you're never able to get it back, even in Yovel. That special halacha of selling a house in a walled city, you're right, that you would need walls on all four sides, and having the yam on one side would mean that it's not considered a walled city. But kikam esafka leili inyan mikra megillah. Chizkiyah wasn't sure whether it's considered a walled city for the halacha of Megillah. My prazim and my mukafin. What are prazim and what are mukafin? What are regular cities and what are walled cities? Tichsivi gabe mikra Megillah, that it speaks about when it comes to mikra Megillah. Mishum dahanu megalu vahanu lo megalu vahanami megalia. Is it about whether the one side of the city is exposed? And over here, one side is exposed. It doesn't have an actual wall because it has ocean on one side. Or is it about the protection that a wall gives? And this city is fully protected because it has walls on any side where there could be people. On the side that there's ocean, it doesn't need a wall, so it's perfectly well protected. So he wasn't sure, what is it about walled cities when it comes to Mikra Megillah? Is it about being surrounded by an actual wall, or is it about the protection that a wall gives? So Mishum Hachim Esafkele, that's what made Chizkiyah unsure about Tveria. Ravasi Kari Megillah Buhutzal Bar Besar Ubechamesar. In the city of Hutzal, Ravasi read the Megillah on the 14th day and 15th day of Adar. He wasn't sure if it was surrounded by a wall from the days of Yeshua ben Nun or not. Ikeda Amar, others have a version that Amar Ravasi, Hai Hutzal de Beis Binyamin Mukavas Chom Mos Yeshua Hi. The Hutzal of Beis Binyamin was certainly surrounded by a wall from the days of Yeshua ben Nun, and therefore would certainly read the Megillah on the 15th day of Adar. Main point number three, if you have a suffix, I'm sorry, not if you have a suffix, the Gemara has a suffix, whether being surrounded by an ocean on one side is considered to be surrounded by a wall with regard to Mikra Megillah. With regard to Batei Rechoma, the halacha of selling a house in a walled city, there's no suffix, it for sure doesn't count. But with regard to Mikra Megillah, the Gemara isn't sure whether being surrounded by ocean on one side and walls on the other side counts as a walled city. That is main point number three, and that is it for Daf Hey Amud Beis. We'll pick up next time with Daf Vav Amud Aleph.